What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang. I am your host, Thrill David Webb. And if you are listening to this and you go, wait a minute, we didn't see a Twitch broadcast, that's because something happened. We don't know what it is. Actually, at this point, we probably do know what it is at the time that you're listening to it. But at the time we recorded, we don't know what it is. So there's no Twitch stream to go along with this. But she's still here, Emma Skies.
And blaming you.
And blaming me. Because I jinxed us. I did say that we were going to start on time.
And very adamantly.
And we're 45 minutes late on the recording. But he's never late. Curtis Fisher.
Never, ever. Ever, never, never, ever. Webb.
Yo.
Emma.
Yes.
Somehow we're going to get through this.
I 100% thought you were going to tell us that our mics weren't working and we were going to have to do that again for the third time.
Nope. Not today.
I would like to applaud Curtis. He's running the ones and twos and he is dealing with these technical issues like a champ.
Well, you know, it's not what I do for my normal everyday life and living or anything. So it's very foreign to me, but I'm taking it on the chin like a champ.
Gross.
We are sponsored by Energy Esports, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Mainframe USA, and Vast GG. We have a great show lined up for you guys tonight. In previous versions of this intro, I made a pun that Emma didn't like.
Very true.
I said it was a marvelous show that we had lined
up.
And
I hate it even more the second time.
And in alternate universes of this intro, that was what I used. I don't know why. I'm still looking at the camera, guys. This is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird doing a podcast without cameras on me. Because I'm looking at the camera like I'm talking to you guys.
Should I put more cameras on you?
Put more cameras on me.
I've changed my camera to be pointing at Webb as well.
That's going
to
make it way easier.
That's going to make it really difficult when we forget that we did that. And the next time we go to do this,
all
the cameras are on you.
All Webb all the time. All right, everybody. So we are going to be talking about, for this week's Webb Talk, the Netflix Marvel shows. We are doing, as Emma puts it, a post-mortem. Which
yeah.
I need her to explain it to me. And
a postmortem is like an autopsy. It's like an examination of something's death and how it died. But
yeah,
so more
the way you described it first, though, it sounded like a eulogy.
Right. Well, because it's not so much like we're not going to dissect how they got canceled and everything. We've talked about that and we'll talk about it a little bit here. But we're going to kind of talk about how they lived and how they died and what we liked about them. So I guess it is kind of a eulogy.
It's more like a eulogy because a postmortem is an autopsy. An autopsy is done to figure out how somebody died. And if we know how they died, we don't need to do a postmortem or an autopsy.
I mean, sometimes they still do.
What? Is it like cutting people up?
Yeah.
That's sadistic.
It's good practice.
But we do have some asterisks, some caveats to this discussion.
Yeah, we do.
That Emma was
unaware of when I... Okay, listen.
Thrilled to hear.
I put forth this idea. I was like, hey, and first of all, we should probably mention Jessica Jones is the last of the Marvel shows and it aired its last season.
Jessica Jones.
The last of the Marvel Netflix shows aired its last season yesterday. So like they're all done now. They're all gone. That's why we're doing this today. And so I put forth the idea. I was like, hey, we should really like we can spend an episode talking about these shows because I think they were a really big deal and it's really bumming that, you know, we don't have them anymore. And, you know, Webb goes, yeah, that's perfect. That's great. Or Curtis, thumbs up. Like, we're good. And then I get here. And I'm like, we've all seen them, right? And they're both. actually,
we've seen most of them.
I would say, Webb, it sounds like you've seen less than half of them.
I would say that's accurate. I've seen between a quarter and 7/8 of them.
7/8 is almost all of them.
Yeah, but not all of them.
That's.
I
anyway,
half, huh?
And Curtis, yeah, you did.
A quarter?
So 2/4 or 4/4 or 2/4 or 4/8.
4/8.
But if you're going from a quarter, you know what? This is terrible. Anyway, Curtis has seen maybe 3/4, it sounds like.
I think it's closer to 3/4. I'm going to make the whole fractions thing pretty easy for us. I've seen 3/4.
And I have seen all of them. Up to Jessica Jones. I've seen everything. I did my usual binge watch of Jessica Jones last night. So I have seen every single second of every Netflix Marvel show ever.
And you see them right when they come out.
Like, yes.
We have a group chat. And all of a sudden, I see the message pop up. Aaron, are you online? And he goes, I'm on Netflix. I'm like, the fuck are these? Oh.
Midnight. So that's the way I do it. So the way Netflix releases their shows is that they release at midnight specific. Good God. Midnight Pacific standard time. Which is my time now, which is great. Because when I lived in college, I can't fucking speak today. When I lived in Pittsburgh in college and I was in Eastern Standard Time, they didn't release until 3 a.m. And I still did this. But they release at midnight. So at midnight on the dot, I start episode one. And then in single sitting, I go through all 13 episodes. And that's how I do these. I don't know why I started doing that, but I did. And then it just became tradition. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, now I kind of have to because I do it every time. And then this one I really had to. Jessica Jones is the very last one. I don't get to do it anymore. So... my very last epic binge.
Was it kind of bittersweet?
It was very sad.
Was it sad?
I was really sad when that, you know, the final credits roll on the last one in loving memory of Stan Lee. You know, it's the last time we'll ever see any of these shows, which is a serious fucking bummer. So I guess that's kind of where to start. So I will say for myself, I think these shows have been some of the best superhero media we've ever had. And I will stand by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not all great. Not all of them fit that. But as a whole, this was really important, I think, for superhero media.
For sure.
I don't disagree, but I need supporting facts. Why do you think these are so important for superhero media?
Because they were really fucking good for the most part. I think they were really good. We got a look at what in the mainstream were lesser known characters.
Okay.
Because usually, like, you get a show about Batman, or you get a show about Superman in Smallville, or you get, you know, they kind of stick with the big ones. I think Green Arrow was even like a very big departure of like, they're doing this no name character, but if you read the comics, he's really not. Like, he's very well known.
He's part of the Justice League.
Yes. He is very important, but a lot of the mainstream doesn't really know. So when Netflix announced that they were doing shows for this, and they picked the Defenders, and not just the Defenders, but these particular Defenders, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. Iron Fist especially was the one that threw people. They're like, really?
Yeah.
This
and,
guy?
And then it aired, and we were like, really?
Really? This guy? This guy? I think it was just, I don't know, I think it was, they put a lot of money and a lot of work and a lot of faith into these shows, and it kind of opens the door for them to keep doing it. And like, the more successful they were, like, the more you kind of caught on that, like, okay, this is a thing that can keep happening and these stories can be told well. Because especially with something like Jessica Jones, it doesn't have to be a superhero show. Like, Jessica Jones was a superhero show, but it was like a detective show, or it was like an investigation show.
More detective than superhero show. Like, yeah, she has powers. But she wasn't like...
it's like the backdrop to it.
Yeah, she wasn't like fighting crime like a typical superhero. She was a private eye.
Yes.
So
Daredevil, I think, was a really good one to start with because it was very much like, this guy is a superhero. Like, he puts on a costume and he goes out and he fights crime. And like, yeah, that was a really good place to start. But it was also just an incredible story. Like, the first season of Daredevil was really fucking good.
I have to say, too, that I think that part of why it was so successful for superhero, like why it was so important for superhero media, was that it painted superheroes in a different light. Like, it was like the Marvel movies. You know what I mean?
They're very human.
They're human. Like, this is like the Defenders is a very human, gritty, like, reaction two situations. Like, they're all fighting crime in like these like really bad areas of New York. They're not dealing with Thanos. They're not dealing with the Chitauri. They're dealing with like thugs.
They're the ground level heroes.
They're the ground level heroes. And so I think that it showed a different side of superheroes.
Well, it's like that
scene. And they're violent too.
Yeah.
Like Marvel, like, let's say, okay, let's be real, adults, we know, the Avengers are killing people.
Yes.
They're just
a lot of people. A lot of people.
But to like a kid, it's like, oh, look at Iron Man. Look at, you know, Captain America. They're just like punching somebody. They're not dead. Grow up. Living in a fantasy world.
Touch a boob.
But Daredevil, Luke Cage punches through somebody, like maybe not literally through somebody,
not quite
somebody through a wall. Yes. Like, he will, you know, Jessica Jones, you know, I'm sure she choked out the main villain in the first season.
She broke his neck.
Daredevil, Good lord.
Daredevil is brutal, but he struggles. He struggles a lot with killing.
He does.
He's like even worse than Batman
but
in the whole
show itself. I mean, season one.
It's very brutal, though. He's a brutal fighter.
Season one, we saw, you know, the Kingpin smash somebody's head in a car door.
That was gross,
over
and it was amazing.
Over and over and over. But yeah, but Daredevil.
And you can't, I mean, if you're going to talk about brutality, you can't leave out the Punisher.
And the Punisher.
The most brutal Marvel character, period, for
and,
the most part.
And he is a killer, and he doesn't have a problem with killing.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, you know, that's the big crux of the season two interactions he has with I almost called him Charlie,
Charlie
the
Cox.
Actor, with Matt is like, you know, you think you're doing the right thing, but you're just going to let these people back on the street and I'm going to end that problem. And that was, oh, that was so good. What about you, Curtis? What was your overall like thought of all these things?
I agree with all the points that y'all made. I think part of what also made it so popular is how accessible it was to people that aren't so much like comic book fans or even comic book movie fans. The platform of YouTube, or excuse me, Netflix. Sorry, Netflix. Took it right to everybody's living room. You know, so it took the content right there. You didn't have to leave your house to see it. But not only that, you know, it made it very accessible. It did show the conflict. It showed, like you guys said, showed heroes on the ground in neighborhoods that could be yours, and gave them such a strong and compelling story and such strong product that people just took to it. And the success of it, I feel like, is the most important part of it, because it allowed more to happen. It became more acceptable. People were going to work and standing around the water cooler. Hey, did you see the episode of Daredevil? Oh, man, it was pretty good. You know, like just that element of making comic book content less of a, you know, what are you big sweaty nerds doing over there? Or just a, oh, new Batman movie? Sure, that might not be so bad. To, you know, like, hey, I can't mix the next one. Or, hey, I fell asleep in the middle of it and I woke back up and I watched the rest of them for the whole rest of the day. So just the accessibility of it leading to the success of it allowed it to grow a lot. And I think that was the most important part in the end.
I think one thing, too, to kind of speak to the success of these Marvel shows on Netflix is how little they had to do with the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a bummer for me, though.
It was a bummer. Don't get me wrong.
But it made it more accessible to people that didn't understand the movies.
Made it more accessible. Right. But it also, to me, speaks so highly of how good the shows were because they weren't relying on the success of the MCU.
Right.
The MCU is super successful.
That's fair.
And so they weren't riding the coattails of that. They were their own thing. Like, you could not have seen any MCU movies and watch these shows and be fine, and vice versa. You would never see these shows and watch MCU and you would never know anything about it. There's subtle hints here and there in some of the shows.
And they got less and less as the shows went on.
Did they?
Like the first seasons, and I think it was they made an effort to put them in there because in the first season, like, you want to connect it to the MCU because you want to connect it to the successful bit.
Right.
Because you know people know that. So like, Daredevil season one very early on refers to the incident. It might be even be in the first episode. It refers to the incident, which is the first Avengers movie, Loki and the Chitauri coming into New York, because it has to like set that it's like we're in the same place, we're in the same place, we're the same people. But that gets less and less and less as the shows go on.
It
never addresses the snap. It never addresses any of that.
So that is going back to like what you said, how disappointing it was for you. That's disappointing to me because that does the opposite. That disconnects it for me. Because
you kind of have to try and believe that like these are all happening before any of the big stuff happened.
Right.
But like it's also been 2 years since that movie came out and it's all kind of supposed to be set, you know, at the current time and the current place.
I mean, for as much like crap as we give Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they acknowledge the events in the movies. And in one shape or another, but what happens in the movies affects the show.
Yeah.
So it's like if you have a network television show that does that, then it's kind of a bummer that the Netflix ones don't.
Can you imagine? I just thought of this. Can you imagine you have a big snap, people disappear, you don't know if somebody's missing or if somebody's snapped, and you have a whole show based around a private investigator.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You could do a whole Jessica Jones season, or like even bits and pieces of it about her helping people, maybe post snap. Like, you know, the snap was undone. Everybody's back, but my husband still isn't back.
Right.
You know, where is he? Can you help me find out? Like, that would have been so cool.
Or during the snap, like in between Infinity War and Endgame, like she's trying to find that. Okay, was this person snapped,
mm-hmm.
or are they just missing?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, or one of them disappears, like
or
Danny.
One of them.
You know what I mean? Like
have characters, you know, not there. Like Karen, that's a character, right?
Yes. Yeah. Karen, my baby girl, my light.
Karen gets snapped.
How dare you?
And you
unacceptable.
You have Matt and you have Foggy trying to figure out like what the hell?
Why are you trying to do this to my girl?
I'm just saying, but okay, that reaction right there is exactly why.
Don't you
it
hurt
would be
her?
Great if it happened because it's you know it draws people in and it connects to the universe, and it's just a shame that they didn't. And I think. I mean, we all know why they got canceled. You know, Disney ended their contract with Netflix. But I think that the shows, for as successful as they were without having to ride the coattails, I'm not saying they had to ride the coattails, but if they connected it even just a smidge more, I think that they would have been even more successful and they would have been able to draw more people in.
There is that.
And it's interesting because the story behind of why they didn't connect is very political. Specifically like with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that was a show that I did enjoy, but that was a show very much that depended on the movies mm-hmm. and what happened in the movies. And I think that's what weakened it a little bit as opposed to the Marvel Netflix shows that didn't have to depend on the movies. You know, they referenced the movies, but, you know, they kept the story very intimate and close to what their own kind of, I mean, it's still cinema.
I would prefer a middle ground. Something not nearly as over the top connected as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just kept doing those small references to things that are happening.
Yeah.
So, they rarely ever even mention other superheroes.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know. I know you didn't watch a whole lot of it.
I've never seen it.
I watched almost all of it.
You watched almost all of it.
Yeah.
So, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Curtis, but really the dependence upon the movies ended in season one. And
no.
Then after that, they referenced the movies, but they're not dependent on them.
See, the tough part about it is, so, I mean, it didn't depend on them as much, but the movie still affect, I mean, especially in season one, when you have something like the whole Hydra event happening.
Right.
Yes.
Like, that already permanently changed the show fundamentally, and like, right there.
That right there, I've talked about it before, but it just kind of like, I don't know, it's just such an interesting fact to me, and like, kind of boggles my mind how. Because season one was done by, what's his name?
Joss Whedon and his brother.
Yeah.
But that's part of the problem, though, is because Kevin Feige never wanted any of the movies to be connected to any TV shows. Because think about one person.
That makes his job harder.
Exactly. It makes his job harder. You know, this is part of the reason why moving forward in the movies, they're not doing a 10-year plan anymore. They're going to do like smaller, intimate things like 3 movie story arcs. Because that would drive someone crazy. So now you already trying to plan for a whole cinematic universe, and now you have to plan for a TV universe. But it was Disney. Well, Disney Brass for ABC gave Joss Whedon and his brother that show, and they bypassed Kevin Feige on that. That's why that even happened in the first place.
Stop giving Joss Whedon jobs to
Kevin. But it's
right,
and it's interesting too because so Kevin Feige was just like, okay, do the show, that's fine, but just know in Winter Soldier, we're killing off S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s ending.
Yeah.
So you can make your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So have fun.
So you can do whatever you want up until then, but just know S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going to exist after Winter Soldier. So then do what you want after that. And I think the way they handled that was really good and it was interesting. And then after that, you had them reference what's going on in the MCU.
Yeah.
But it was never dependent, you know.
No.
But besides that, I think one of the other. The more prominent ones for me, I think, was the episode right after Thor 2, mm-hmm. when that came out in theaters. Mm-hmm. And the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was them in London cleaning up after the final fight.
Right.
They were cleaning up, you know, the weapons and stuff. So I thought that was really interesting.
So all this to say that just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the network shows like that and the Marvel Netflix shows did very differently. Like, they just did it very differently.
Thanks for bringing us back on track.
I was waiting for my in.
I know.
Now I lost what I was saying. Anyway, so they did it very differently, but they were still, you know, it still existed in the same universe, but, it's different. It's this small town kind of, mm-hmm. well, not same as New York City, but, you know, within each of their boroughs,
right.
you know, they each have their own sort of district, their own sort of jurisdiction that they're under, mm-hmm. which is bonkers to me, kind of, in New York City, because, like, Jessica Jones is dealing with Kilgrave. And, you know, all this shit that's going down. Or more cinematically, like, Daredevil is dealing with Wilson Fisk. And he's dealing with these really violent criminals in the Hand, like these gangs and things. The other three Defenders are, like, two subway stops away.
Mm-hmm.
And they never call on each other, which is wild to me, even after the Defenders. Like, they don't really call on each other.
It boggles my mind. And even the Defenders, like... There was calls for, like, another season of The Defenders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they were like, well, it was always meant to be a one-shot.
Yeah. That's probably not going to happen. So going back to the beginning, in 2013, Disney announced that they were going to make 4 standalone shows in a miniseries. And we didn't really know what they were. By the end of the year, we found out that it was going to be on Netflix, and the shows were going to be the 4 that we got and The Defenders as a miniseries. So we always knew from the very beginning that it was going to be a miniseries. I don't think they really talked about that enough, because everybody was like, okay, we're season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, we're not doing that. And you know what? It's fine, because Defenders ended up being terrible anyway. It was bad. It was unfortunate.
They played too much on the, like, no, I don't like the way you do things. Or I don't like the way you do things. And I'm not going to fight with you because I don't trust you. It's like, shut the fuck up and just... Guys, well, grow a pair.
The thing that... The biggest problem that... The Defenders suffered from was really unfortunate. I think it wasn't entirely its own fault. So the way that they came out was that Daredevil came out first, Jessica Jones, Daredevil season 2, Luke Cage season 1, Iron Fist season 1, and then Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
So Daredevil had 2 seasons. Everybody else had 1 at that point. Iron Fist had just come out. It was less than a year. It might have been less than 6 months between Iron Fist and the Defenders. They were the same year as far as I know. And so Iron Fist comes out and everybody fucking hates it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. Danny Rand is a terrible character. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants him to be a part of anything. And they're like, okay, well, whatever, you know, they need to fix him next time. There was no time to fix him. Defenders was written, shot, and in editing by the time that anybody knew that everybody hated Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So Defenders comes out and people get mad because they didn't change Danny. You know, they're like, it's the same guy. You didn't do anything different. You didn't fix anything. And it's like, they didn't have any time. So it's like, it is bad for a multitude of other reasons, but it wasn't helped by that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny. So I'm a person who has a different take on it. I didn't hate Iron Fist season 1. I thought it was okay. He was definitely the worst part of it. Yeah, like how he was written, unfortunately, was the worst part. And I didn't dislike Finn. I could tell Finn was the actor was really only doing, you know, what
he
they
was
laid
doing
out.
What he could with what he had.
Right. Because
hang on. Because the fighting was, well, I'm putting on him.
That's on the fight choreographer, and that's on stuntmen.
That's not...
I mean, it's also him.
Him
but...
not learning the choreography. He would learn the choreography minutes before they would call action for the fight. I read an article that said that.
I mean...
From a reputable source.
I would put that on the showrunner, because if you're not giving actors enough time to, like, learn... You can. I mean, that happens a lot with movies, too, and lines and stuff like that, like, learn it right before the scene. But if you're not... If you're not making the space for these people to learn it better, because if you go to Defenders right after that, it did actually look better. That's when they got, like, that.
Well, because it was a different show with a different showrunner with a different, like, team and everything.
Yep, completely.
And so the fight choreographer from season 1 of Iron Fist got fired. The showrunner from season 1 of Iron Fist got fired. Mm-hmm. And they moved him to the Inhumans, and we know what happened there. Good God, Marvel. Leave this man.
For real.
But the fighting in season 2 got... Oh, my God. We're kind of jumping all over the place here, and I do apologize for that. We really don't have, like, a set A to B, you know, or A to Z on what we're doing here. My
apologies. And neither did they.
Neither did they. But Iron Fist season 2 was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I felt it was really good.
Yeah, but the focus was on Danny Rand anymore.
Wasn't no, it was. It was still on Danny Rand. Yeah, okay. He was written better. He was a better character. He spoke better. Yep. But it had better villains. Like nobody cared about that fucking family.
No,
nobody cared about the Meachums.
Nobody cared about the family. Nope. And also, season one, it was Arrow.
It was. That's exactly
it was
what it was.
100% Arrow.
But not as good.
But Lost, not as good.
Lost, you know, heir to a multi-million-dollar fortune. Comes back out of the blue.
Even
and
down to the point of like Lost on some remote Asian continent.
Yes.
Or remote Asian country.
Right.
And then comes back and is struggling with taking over the family company and fighting crime.
Yes.
That's Arrow season one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's true to the characters in the comics for their origin too. So it's a little tough. That's at the point when you're, okay, like, hey, okay, you're the showrunner. Guess what? There's already another successful show that has that as the premise and the basis of the character. You got to come up with something a little more creative. Have it still, you know, honor maybe or represent the original one, but like you have to change it in a way that's not going to make it so similar. Because like you guys said, it's just going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Or just don't make it the focus. Like that was the focus of the first few episodes of
and nobody fucking cared because Danny was a piece of shit that nobody cared about.
Yeah.
It's too whiny.
I watched that one. I think I've seen the first season of Iron Fist twice.
Mm-hmm. Why would you watch it a second time?
And it because I was watching it with somebody else a second time, mm-hmm. and it was just like, this is just boring.
Yeah,
it's like
it was
you bored me with this superhero.
So I hate to say this about this show, but that was the struggle I had with Jessica Jones at first.
Season
one.
Okay.
It was hard for me to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because I'm coming off of like Daredevil. And Daredevil had like when it had its slow moments, but its action sequences made up for the slow moments. There was not a lot of action in Jessica Jones. It was just a different pace.
Yes.
Which is fine, and I'm not criticizing it. It was just not what I expected / was looking for. So it took me a bit to get into it. But when I finally sat down and watched it, got maybe halfway through whatever, I was like, I was hooked. I was like, okay, I need to see how this gets resolved.
So
this is
good.
Interesting. It's really good. It's just, it's a contrast.
Yeah. Jessica Jones season one, I was actually looking for a change of pace because one of my favorite things about her character is like the detective. I just really like detectives. Like my favorite part of Batman is the detective
yes.
aspect of Batman.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, he started. He's the world's greatest detective. I liked the whole alias aspect. And I was happy to see eventually, obviously, that they worked towards that. But I liked that she was a private eye. I was looking for that change of pace. I was in it all the way. And I thought David Tennant playing the Purple Man, which there was a small part in me that did want the Purple Man to actually be purple, and that didn't happen, but that's okay. You wore a purple suit, that's fine.
I was really, really happy they didn't go that direction.
I mean, I which is, you know, I mean, I was happy too that he wasn't purple the whole time.
Yeah.
I just would have even liked a little, just like how they referenced her costume, you know,
yeah.
like she wasn't.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, like, you know, the whole, dang it, I forgot her, is it Crystal? Jewel, there we go.
They pull out the Jewel costume, and she's like, no, what the hell?
Right. Now, I'll say this, though. I am kind of a little fed up with them doing that thing. I'm cool if you do a scene where it's like, but don't piss on, like, that's literally how we got here is from the comics. Don't piss on the comics, please. But just, you know, hey, yeah, this is not a practical, even if she's just like, everybody's going to see me if I wear this thing. I have to wear something different. Like, even like that would be
cool.
Well,
I mean, it fits the character because, like, the Jessica Jones that we have would never wear that. Webb's seeing it for the first time right now.
Yeah. Was that season two?
That's his costume. That is a photoshopped picture. She never wore it.
Oh, she never actually wore it?
No. There's a scene in the first season where Patsy, or Trish, her best friend, is like trying to get her to be a superhero. Yeah, so she's like pulling out different costumes and things that she could wear, and she holds up the Jewel costume, you know, as like an homage, you know,
yeah,
like a little Easter egg for people.
I don't remember that.
You wouldn't have noticed it if you didn't know.
Yeah, if you blinked, you would have missed
scene.
It.
Yeah.
I don't remember her pulling costumes out and stuff like that.
But that was, like, I get it. Because, like, our Jessica Jones would never have done that. And even kind of the Jessica Jones in the comics, when she leaves behind the Jewel persona and kind of gets more into, like, what she is now, would never wear that.
Right. And which, like I said, it's, but that's the weird thing, because in the show, she did wear it. Like, well, I'm sorry, not she did wear it, but, like, the fact that it was even there, that it was, that she even had in her collection, collection. You know, kind of,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, kind of lends to the fact. But it's, I mean, it's fine. It's in the past. But what the only part that started to get me that, like, the kind of turned and started to, like, make me lose my attention is just a little bit of the too much cat and mouse where it's like, okay, we got him. Oh, we lost him again.
Yeah.
Okay, we got him. You know, same thing with her. They got her. He lost her again. Like, just kind of a little bit of that. All that told me was that you guys got a good story, but they made you make too many episodes. If we could have just cut maybe two episodes off of that, or maybe three.
I can see that.
Then you know, we just tighten up the story a little bit. That's the only thing I really did. Everything else about season one of Jessica Jones, I was really, really digging.
So I kind of want to move into favorites and least favorites and things like that. So I want to ask you two different questions.
Sure.
What was your favorite and least favorite of all the seasons of all the shows? And what do you think are the best and the worst? Because I was looking at Metacritic scores today. I don't remember all of them, but I remember the best scored and the worst scored.
Okay. Ooh, I'm so interested. So are we going to do what the scores after we tell?
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll let you know when we go around. But like, what would you say was your favorite and your least favorite?
Okay. Can I start with my least favorite?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'm going to start with Jessica Jones season two.
Even worse than Iron Fist and the Defenders?
Yeah. Because I actually enjoyed the Defenders. I was kind of like the same thing with that. I didn't hate season one of Iron Fist. And the Defenders, I actually enjoyed. The letdown was what they did with Sigourney Weaver, because they had an incredible actress that could have been a very compelling villain.
Yeah.
And they gave it all up just for the basically the Elektra character, yep. Which I love Elektra's character, but I don't like the actress that they picked for her. She just doesn't exude Elektra enough for me.
I was opposite. I liked the actress and I hated the character.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I can totally see that side of it too. It's just, oh. But anyway, Jessica Jones season two, it was like, this is the only one that I started and I didn't finish because I just really, really, really couldn't bear it anymore.
It's bad.
It is really bad. It was a bad storyline. I had bad pacing. The whole mother, mom situation was just like.
And they totally invented that for the show.
Yeah.
That was a total, like, Janet exists in the comics, but she's her adoptive mother, not her biological mother. Like, her mother never comes back from that. It was, whatever.
So, like, I don't even know how an idea like that got out of the think tank, got past the showrunner. Like, name every person who is above the person that came up with that idea, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna fire you, but you are fined. You are fined. Like, shame. Like I said, I wasn't able to finish it. And were we gonna go to like what I would have done differently about it, or are we saving that for later?
No, you can go for that.
Okay, cool. So what I would have done differently from it, and Emma, you'll have to like chime in just in case some of this did happen.
That's true. I did watch it more than you guys.
Right. But what I would have done is I would have had season two be kind of go deeper into the alias and the detective side that I really liked with a harsh twist. So her and Malcolm like go on, you know, Malcolm starts helping her more. They go on a thing. He comes with her and he gets like severely injured to the point where like he's basically going to be paralyzed, you know, for the rest of his life. And Jessica does feel like the slightest bit of responsibility because he, you know, she helped him kind of turn around and get clean. And in the midst of trying to continue to turn his life around, he gets injured. So his medical bills are really, really high.
Being you put some thought into this.
I did. Being that she feels responsible, she's like, maybe I can, through some PI work, maybe I can hustle up and get some money for his bills that are racking up, because he's not going to be able to pay it off easily. He's paralyzed. So she takes a job from like a high profile business person. And the business person kind of knows who she is a little bit more than he lets on. And he's offering her more money and more money to do things that cross the line more. And then eventually he asks like, hey, I'm going to pay you double what I paid you last time because I know you got powers and I need you to use them. And she is conflicted, but she's like, hey, I got to pay this off for Malcolm. So she goes and like a little girl almost gets hurt. And it just flashed to her like, hey, I can't use the powers, but I can, you know, continue to go this far for you. And he's like, oh, so you're not going to use your powers, huh? And then he hands her an envelope. And the whole time she's been doing that PI work, he's had another person following her, taking pictures of her. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm invested.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm invested in the story.
Finish
oh,
the okay, what my happens? Bad.
Okay, so he shows her that he's been having another private eye follow her and take pictures of her doing all that stuff. And he's like, I've been blackmailing you. Oh, I can blackmail you. So now what I need you to do is use your powers. I'll pay you less now. And there's this dude that's trying to take out my family because, you know, they're crooked business people and tearing up the community and whatnot. And he shows her some video, and he's like, he's trying to put us in jail, and he's trying to shut our business down, and you're going to use your powers to fight him. He's a metahuman, and when she's watching the video, she pauses it when the person's face is revealed, and it's Luke Cage underneath the hood.
That's a whole ass season you just wrote.
Damn.
So that's what I would have done for season two. It delves deeper.
I watch it.
Goodness.
Okay, thank you. Well, yeah, I'll leave it there anyway. But thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Man, that's a whole thing. So I will say they didn't do that.
Okay.
That is not the direction the show goes.
Okay.
But it would have been better than season two.
For sure.
You know, the thing with Jessica Jones is they shot themselves in the foot by using their best villain in the first season and killing him.
Yeah.
You cannot follow Kilgrave.
No.
Nothing ever came close. And I feel like the problem with season two, because I was looking at this and I'm like trying to figure out who the villain is. And I mean, technically her mother is, but there's no clear villain.
Right. That was the other thing.
It's like they said, you know, how do we follow Kilgrave? You know, how do we top that? And somebody just went, well, we don't. You just don't put a villain in.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, okay, that's perfect. Nobody can say we couldn't top him because we didn't do anything. And like, beside the fact that you can't top Kilgrave, mm-hmm. they could never top David Tennant.
Yeah, right.
If you think about it, like, he is the only big recognizable name besides Sigourney Weaver
right.
that's in those shows. They never went out of that realm of actors and actresses that were like, I mean, they weren't bad and they weren't unknown, but they weren't exactly, you know, A-list stars like
right.
David Tennant and Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
They never really attempted to get anybody else like that. And mm-hmm. how do you follow David Tennant?
You
right.
don't.
Because the woman that played Janet certainly didn't.
No.
The character wasn't great, and like the actress just didn't bring a whole ton to it.
Right.
So you said your least favorite was Jessica Jones season
yes.
two. What
yeah.
was your favorite?
My favorite was Daredevil season two.
Really?
Yes. Daredevil season two. Well, primarily because of mainly how they brought in the Punisher. Like he just. Like
yes.
like we were saying earlier, he brought that extra element. Matt is already conflicted about mm-hmm. what he's doing and how far he's going. And then you have someone who easily comes and goes farther and has no problems with it and is getting results.
And is more effective.
More effective. And he's just like, you know, and then it's just their dialogues. You're a half measure red.
That rooftop scene with the two of them.
That's it.
That's really
one
good.
Of the best scenes in any of those shows.
Easily. So, yeah, that's definitely why. The storyline was incredible. The thin line between law and morality that just got discussed throughout the whole thing. Very solid pacing. And then the acting, too, like literally
yeah.
just the chops. John Bernthal,
Charlie
Cox, and Vincent D'Onofrio, all of them. I just was. And of course, we got the Kingpin silk suit, which was a big thing
yes.
for me, from, you know, just from liking the comics and liking Spider-Man. So easily Daredevil season two is my favorite.
Okay, so Jessica Jones season two was your least favorite. Daredevil season two is your favorite.
Yes.
So that aside, what would you assume would be the best and the worst reviewed?
Best reviewed, I'm going to lean towards either Luke Cage season. Well, I can only pick one, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say Daredevil season one is the best reviewed
okay.
and worst reviewed. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that it was actually Defenders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Webb, what your favorite and your least favorite?
I can't follow Curtis.
None of us can. You should have been last.
Sorry.
Can't.
So I'll just stick with the same format. Least favorite, Iron Fist.
Okay.
Things I would do differently are pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I would, like we already said, not put so much focus on long-lost heir to a family fortune returns to fight crime.
For
yeah.
sure.
And run the company.
Definitely.
Less focus on that. Reference it, but don't make that, you know, don't do Arrow season one.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would do would be to just better fighting sequences. You have Iron Fist, who is supposed to be, like, the master martial artist.
Yeah, like in the like one of the top in the world.
In the world.
Yeah, like should be better than Matt.
Should be better. Yeah. And yet Daredevil could kick his ass in the Netflix series.
Yeah. One hand tied behind his back.
One hand tied behind his back, and he's fucking
blindfolded.
Blind. Yeah, right. Blindfolded. Blindfolded with earmuffs. Hand one hand behind the back and
in a hallway.
In a hallway.
Of course, in a hallway.
That's too much of an advantage for Matt. You put Matt in the hallway, I'm turning around and I'm running the opposite direction.
It's done.
Which is a good segue to my favorite, which is season one Daredevil.
Okay.
Because
that fucking hallway
for
scene.
So many reasons, and part of it is the same reason why one of my favorite Marvel movies is Iron Man.
Okay.
Is because it's the lighting of the fuse to the series, to this universe. But also, it was just like, it was such a different look at superheroes. It was a superhero that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, the fighting was unreal.
So good.
The hallway sequence, the rain sequence.
Oh, yeah, it's like, so good.
Good Lord. It was just so good on so many different levels, and it really set the bar for the Netflix series.
Yep.
Definitely.
And it was, unfortunately, for some of them, it was a high bar to meet. So you have Daredevil, who comes out of the gate, and he's like this crazy good fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just boxing. He's like an MMA fighter.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Let's just be real. He's a UFC fighter. And then you have the quote-unquote, like, best martial artist in the world who, like, can't fight for shit. You know what I mean? So
can't land a punch.
Can't land a punch. He's a fucking stormtrooper, like, when it comes to punching.
Totally.
So, yeah, where would I like to have seen? So Daredevil, I know I watched enough of season two and know enough of spoilers to where I know where they went with Daredevil. Iron Fist.
If it makes you feel better, season two of Iron Fist is really good.
And I know that, and I want to watch season one. Force myself to watch season one so then I could watch season two.
Honestly, watch a recap of season one. It doesn't fucking matter.
So, you know what the best part of season one was? What's her name?
Colleen is the best fucking thing on that show.
Did work.
Yeah, Colleen was dope.
Colleen put Danny to shame, and she wasn't the Iron Fist.
And they recognize that, and Colleen, it's like the fucking Colleen show in season two.
Yeah,
so that's what I was saying.
Massively.
Because it kind of seemed like it shifted the focus a little bit off of Danny and a little more on the Colleen in season two.
She definitely gets more screen time. She gets more solo screen time, I'll say.
Yeah.
Where she's not just with Danny.
Right.
But yeah, that's where I would like to see them take Iron Fist, or where I would have liked to see. I honestly don't know, because I watched so little of it because it was just bad to me. The acting was bad. The story was boring. The fighting was bad. There's one I remember vividly. There was a fight scene in like a storage room or something where you see.
Oh, in the back of that truck?
No, it was like in some warehouse or something.
Oh,
like that.
In some warehouse.
Like
okay.
It was like a small confined, perfect opportunity to be a comparison to like a hallway fight scene in Daredevil, but it's slightly different enough. And there's a scene where you see him, almost like. Stop and reset his fighting choreography.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I was like, oh my God.
Like, he takes a breather.
It's just broke. I'm broken out of the reality of the show.
Yeah.
It's like, you can edit that out. Yeah. Like, why didn't you take out
why
those few frames?
Post?
Yeah. Why didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So Daredevil season one's your favorite. Iron Fist season one is your least favorite. What would you say is the best and worst reviewed?
Best reviewed, I'm gonna say is probably Daredevil season one.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that's probably the best reviewed. The worst reviewed, it's a tie, honestly, between Iron Fist and the Defenders.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I've been thinking about this whole time. I don't know if I can pick a single favorite.
Okay.
Because I love so many of them. Mm-hmm. And what it comes down to for me is the first seasons of Daredevil or Jessica Jones.
Okay.
And it's... I don't know. I really don't. And it's such a fucking bummer.
What are the things that you love so much about Jessica Jones season one?
Jessica Jones season one. So Kilgrave makes that show.
Okay.
He is an incredible villain played by an incredible actor. It dives into a lot of things. It dives into the psychological trauma that something like this, you know, that brings up, and, right. and the things that, you know, you don't always talk about in the superhero media is like, you know, the villain, mm-hmm. you know, the mind control is broken and everything's happy again. But like, mm-hmm. no, she has really very serious PTSD.
Yeah, lasting effects for something like that.
And
right?
It talks about how it destroyed her life and she became an alcoholic and she deals with the trauma of the things that she did and the things that were done to her.
Right. And it broaches like violation in like a very different and creative way, because essentially that's what he's doing. You're making people do things against their will.
Yes.
You know, that is violating. That's intrusive.
In a way that he doesn't view it as that. Like, she calls him out and tells him straight up that he raped her.
Right.
Like, for years. And right. he refuses. He's like, that's not what it is. Like, that's almost like a vile concept to him.
Right. Exactly.
And so, like, her acting and, like, really the way that they act off of each other, David Tennant and Kristen Ritter, just did really, really well.
Yeah, their chemistry was bomb.
It's the only Jessica Jones season where I liked her friend. I hate Trish in season 2 and in season 3.
Me too. Oh my gosh, they tore Trish up so bad.
It was season 2 Trish is really bad, and I went into season 3 being so annoyed with Trish that like I almost feel bad. Like, I feel like they couldn't have redeemed her, cuz she plays such a big part in season 3.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Trish, I'm trying to remember
blonde friend.
Hellcat.
With a radio show?
Yes.
I thought that was mm-hmm. her sister.
No.
No.
That's her adoptive sister.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, who's Patsy?
That's her. She was on a TV show when she was younger called It's Patsy. So everybody calls her Patsy.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
But
okay,
isn't that, like, Patsy Cline, why is that ringing a bell in my head?
Patsy Cline's an actress.
Okay, I thought...
Somebody want to look that up?
I thought Patsy was also part of, like, Hellcat's story in, like, a weird way. Like, it was, like, her middle name or some odd name.
Well, because her name's Patricia.
Right.
So I
Trish.
Think...
Trish. Okay, there
Hellcat
we go.
Might, like, in the comics, her name... Hellcat and Jessica Jones also have no interaction.
Wait, so is Hellcat... So do they have references to Hellcat in Jessica Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, even in season 3, she puts
on the Hellcat outfit. Yeah, and the way that season 2 ends... You're going to get spoilers today. That season 2 ends points to the fact that they're going to do Hellcat.
Yeah.
That explains the comic... I'm pretty sure it's fan-drawn comic that I saw when I was looking up the Jewel costume.
Mm-hmm.
And it was drawn in such a way to where it looks like Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wearing the Jewel costume and looking down kind of like in disgust.
Okay.
With Trish like going like, yes, like that's it. And then on the ground, on the feet, like around like their feet
mm-hmm.
is like a cat mask and like, you know, like other things. So in my mind, I was like, were they trying to go for like a Catwoman kind of thing?
Yeah, no. Trish Walker and Jessica Jones are not like aren't friends in the comics. What it actually is Jessica Jones's best friend is Carol Danvers, Captain
Whoa!
Marvel.
Yep.
And in the original drafts of Jessica Jones, there was no Trish; it was Carol Danvers.
Mm-hmm.
And that because they started making these shows before Marvel, you know, had the MCU all fleshed out and where they knew they were going. And so Jessica Jones was originally supposed to have Ms. Marvel in it.
Yeah, and they snatched it for the movie because Feige said he wanted it. Yeah.
Yep. So when Marvel decided that they were going to do a Captain Marvel movie and they wanted her in the MCU, they had to remove her from the show.
Yeah.
And they replaced her with Trish Walker.
Captain Marvel is such a good movie.
Yeah. It was so good, it would have been cool. But I'm glad we got a movie, and we're gonna have her continuing in the MCU. But yeah, it would have been cool to see her in there. I would have liked to see her in her own show. But yes, so all that aside, so like Jessica Jones is really, really good for the themes that it delves into, how it handles them, and how it puts them on the backdrop of superheroed people and like and enhanced individuals.
What about Daredevil season 1?
Daredevil is much like Webb said, it sets the tone, it sets everything up, it starts everything.
Mm.
It fixed a horrible movie,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really good.
Yeah.
And then for the same reason, like the acting in that show is ridiculous. Charlie Cox was a phenomenal choice for that. He plays that role Like, he was born for it.
Yeah. And Vincent D'Onofrio was Fisk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is funny because when I started watching, I was like, oh, it's a Law and Order guy. And now I'm like, well, I see Law and Order. I'm like, ah, it's Wilson Fisk. That's
change
who he is now.
Right.
But Wilson Fisk was, again, an incredible villain. The show was just like, it was very brutal. It was very dark and gritty, which I really, really loved. Mm-hmm. So I think I like them for different reasons. But if I had to pick one.
You got
to
pick one.
Over the other.
Yep.
Son of a bitch. I want to say Daredevil.
Okay.
I think. I mean, it's probably one of those where, like, it changes day to day.
Yeah, yeah. You could
like,
change
tomorrow.
Like, if you ask
me tomorrow, it'll be a different answer.
And that'd be totally fine. But for today in the podcast.
So my least favorite is also Iron Fist Season 1 for all of the reasons that we've talked about.
Okay.
But I think because we've already talked about it so much, we've kind of already talked about it to death, I will say that my second least favorite easily is the Defenders, and going a little bit into that and why, because we've talked so much shit about Iron Fist. Let's talk some shit about the Defenders.
Yes, let's.
So the Defenders was a miniseries. It was only supposed to be what it was. It was never supposed to be any more. They didn't communicate that very well.
No.
So I went into it and I was like, cool, season one of the Defenders, 13 episodes like everything else, let's go. You go in, you know, I pick it up, and it is 8 episodes. And I went, What the fuck? I'm already done with this thing by 7 a.m. And I was. I was like, okay, so it's going to only be 8 episodes. That's a real bummer. Turns out 8 episodes is too many.
Yeah. Should have been more like 6 or 5 or 4.
I see Webb over here trying to do math. Like, I got it wrong. They're not all an hour. So I was done by like 7:30.
I'm over here like, 8 episodes. Wait, you start at midnight, 12 to 1.
They're
one
not
to
an hour.
Webb, you never watch anything at 1.5 speed? What's wrong with you?
I know.
That's the only way I can do it without sleeping, you know? I just got to do it. No, they're all like within like 50 to 54 minutes. So they're, you know, it just shaves off time. So the Defenders was only 8 episodes, and there were still like 3 filler episodes.
Yeah, totally.
Where I watched it and I went, that didn't show me fucking anything.
No.
There was no point to this. It didn't enhance the story at all. You advanced nothing. I wasted an hour of my time on this. I could have skipped this and not missed anything. There were like 3 of those. You only have 8 episodes. How do you still have filler?
Especially with so much of the stuff with Sigourney Weaver and how she's dying and she's like looking for these treatments and this treatment might work. And
I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, because all of that just for her to just get killed.
Yeah.
Like, did none of that stuff matter?
I'll tell you how you have filler episodes with only 8 episodes, or filler episodes with only 8 episodes in a season.
Hmm.
Game of Thrones had only 6 episodes.
Still had.
And they still had filler episodes.
Anyway, that's a whole other debacle.
We've done that podcast already.
So
go check out our Patreon.
Sigourney Weaver. So the whole overarching thing of the Defenders and coming off of Iron Fist was that the big bad is the Hand. The Hand, and more importantly, individually, the fingers of the Hand and each of them. So what bothered me about... Yes, that's what they're called. That's what they're called. I didn't make the decision.
What's more important than the hand is the fingers. Yep. The ligaments that attach the fingers to the hand. The bone structure.
I hate you.
Sorry, go ahead.
And one of the things that really made me upset about... Not only the how useless Sigourney Weaver's character ended up being when... First of all, you're going to waste Sigourney Weaver on that.
Yeah.
But... It severely downplayed how amazing Madame Gao had been to all of us.
Right, yeah.
Because you introduced her in Daredevil and you have her, and she is this, like, she's this little old Asian lady that's, you know, got, you know, just, she's, oh, I'm just living my life. I'm just, nobody expects anything, you know, or nobody, you know, suspects anything of me. I'm just, but like, she was running everything. Like, she was the head honcho. She was the one to be afraid of. She was the one that you needed to either impress or run from. Like, Madame Gao was the end-all be-all. And then you watch you watch The Defenders and you find out that's not the truth. Madame Gao is a boss.
Yeah.
Madame Gao is not the end-all be-all. She has people that she's afraid of. And to me, that hurt her character.
Yeah.
Because it took her down a peg. For no reason.
Right. And what's weird about it is they showed that she had like bosses and people that she had to answer to. But what's weird is they showed how much more powerful she was in that season simultaneously. So it's just all sorts of confusing.
And it didn't make any sense. And it didn't help that I really, really disliked Elektra.
Oh, gosh.
So I view Daredevil season two as two separate seasons whenever I talk about it. I think there's Daredevil season two, the first half with the Punisher.
Yes.
And there's the second half with Elektra.
That suffers,
And
yeah.
the first half with the Punisher is phenomenal.
Fantastic.
It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the second half with Elektra is terrible.
Utterly.
I hate it.
You said the second half of Elektra.
Whatever.
That's pretty much what it was at that point.
It was the Elektra show. It, because, not even because of Elektra herself, but because of the way that they wrote Matt to act around her and because of her and all the decisions that he makes and all the things that he blows up his entire life right. for this woman that they can't, they're not showing you and they're not giving us enough of a reason to believe that he would do all of this stupid shit.
Yeah.
That he would destroy his relationships that he's building, that he would turn his life upside down, that he would abandon his friends and abandon his moral code for this woman that in all of the flashbacks that they show us, they show her to be a horrible
person. Utterly, yeah.
They didn't show anything good.
No, and I feel like they didn't, because if they were going to work the whole like, okay, you know, like with him not having a mother, you know, like he's looking to fill that gap that he didn't have with Elektra. They didn't make any good parallels between like what his mom was like or like mm-hmm. They didn't feel anything there. It was just like, oh, well, you know, when you're in love, Matt does right. crazy things.
That was the entire premise is, you know, he does this because love. He does this because, but they don't show you or give you any reason to believe why he's right. in love with her.
Exactly. It,
and he hasn't seen her in what, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, forever.
It's just it was built on the premise that they have some sort of true love
right.
and that's why he's going to blow up his life for her. So they took all of that and they carried it over into the Defenders. And then, you know, to the point where he kills himself for her.
Yeah, exactly.
The Defenders ends with Matt Murdock dying. Spoiler alert. Obviously, he comes back because he's not actually dead. He gets found. It's a whole thing. That's how season three starts. It's a whole thing. Right. But
is it Lazarus Pit?
No.
Not quite.
But season two, or the Defenders ends with Matt Murdock sacrificing himself for Elektra, which is just the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on how what they did to Karen Page, my child, the light of my life. How could you do this to her, Matt? Whatever.
Terrible.
So that was kind of my deal with the Defenders. I wish that it had just been, I wish that they had either abandoned the Hand or gone a different direction with it. I don't think the Hand was a great choice. I didn't love carrying on with Elektra. I wish that they had just had a bigger bad to face.
Yeah, that would have been good. Like a bigger bad or a better bigger bad. I mean, and even if you did tie in the Hand like a little bit, just get away from Elektra. I feel like Elektra is like Fetch. Like stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Stop trying to make Elektra happen.
Yeah, just cut it
out. Or if you were going to do the Hand, like have the Hand only affected Daredevil and Iron Fist.
Right.
They could have built it where Daredevil or the Hand affected Jessica Jones and Luke Cage as well.
Right.
Because
exactly.
There's five fingers of the Hand. If you just put each of those fingers in one of their jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Like, then you can kind of build up to that. And they really didn't do that, which was disappointing.
Yeah, because they were trying to make Fetch happen.
Yes. So that is my, I will say, as of right now, my favorite is Daredevil season one. My least favorites were Iron Fist season one and the Defenders. And it's kind of hard to have, like, really in-depth discussions because, like, obviously we all have the same least favorite thing or we all are very similar and we ended up talking because there is, like, a pretty objectively good and bad in these things.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you both said that Daredevil season one would be the best reviewed. You said the worst would be the Defenders and you said the worst would be Iron Fist season one.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say the worst reviewed with a 37 out of 100 on Metacritic
Defenders.
Was Iron Fist season one.
Oh, dang! Wow, okay. What did Defenders have?
63.
Oh, really?
And this is where Metacritic started to piss me off because Defenders was higher than Iron Fist Season 1, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
It was higher than Iron Fist Season 2, which only got a 39, which makes me think that nobody watched it.
That's what it sounds like.
Got higher than both seasons of The Punisher.
What?
The Punisher Season 1 had a 55 on Metacritic.
Just what I've seen of Punisher. Punisher Season 1 was so good and so gritty, it triggered my anxiety and I had to stop watching it. That's literally why I didn't finish it, because I was like, this whole soldier thing and all, and like, what? Oh, it's, I can't deal with it. Yeah. So, wow, I can't believe that.
I was like, this Defenders is too high and all that other shit's too low.
Right.
And the best reviewed on Metacritic was Jessica Jones Season 1.
Okay, right
with
on.
With an 81. And that was the highest out of any of them. The highest any of them got was an 81.
Okay.
What's Daredevil season one?
75.
Really?
Interesting.
What's Luke Cage season one?
79.
Okay.
So it was the second highest with a 79.
Okay.
And then the Jessica Jones season 3 score is all messed up because it came out yesterday and there's no good things out on it yet.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? Well, without being that it is so new, and I know we don't want to spoil anything for spoil everything for right. that quite yet, but since you are the only one of us, because I've only gotten to episode 3, mm-hmm. since you're the only one of us that has finished it, can you at least just give us your impressions of it?
Yes. So I will say up front, Jessica Jones season 3 is better than season 2.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is a good thing because season 2 was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's better than season 2. It's okay. not as good as season 1.
Okay.
They were just never able to live up to that.
Okay.
I think the villain they chose was a very interesting choice.
Okay.
In that they did the same thing this season that they did last season, where they took an existing person and completely changed it.
Okay.
That character is that character only in name. And I don't really want to say the name of the character sure. because you don't know yet.
Okay.
And it's like names get brought up and you don't know until you know that's the big bad of the season.
Okay.
But he is that character. And I mean, obviously now you know it's a he.
Yeah.
He is that character mm-hmm. only in name.
Okay.
Not one piece of his story in the TV show matches up to the comics. Not one.
Mm.
Which is really an interesting direction for them to go.
Okay.
And I guess it kind of like they pick lesser known characters so that they can do that.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody's going to
be in an uproar, you know, on. Yeah. This character that yeah. we haven't seen in forever, which is smart because that's a lot of the good comic book writers. That's what they do. Let me grab this old character. No one really cares too much so I can change him. Oh, I made him interesting.
Right.
Boom. Now people love
Guardians
love
of the Galaxy.
Bingo.
It's better than season 2 for sure.
OK.
It is. I still hate Patsy. I still hate her.
I hated her from what I saw of her already. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
She's so spoiled.
Sad. Yeah.
She's entitled
yeah.
to everything she wants this season. She is unable to listen to anybody but herself. She believes in her gut that she's right, and she refuses to listen to anybody that knows anything other than her. It's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would make a choice of a character that is supposed to be so close to your title character, and ultimately, you know, everybody would like to see them, you know, come together in a way that would be fulfilling, and you know, and what everybody likes people to team up.
Yeah.
But you put them at such odds, and then you write the character to be such an unlikable person. It's it, like 2 seasons in a row.
Ooh. And it they try to make it's almost like it wants you to think Jessica's wrong, and you're gonna get a spoiler for season 2 of Jessica Jones.
No,
the last I mean Jessica Jones season 2 ends with Trish shooting her mother in
right.
the head.
Yeah,
she kills her mother in front of her
right.
as they're having a reconciliation, and Trish walks up and shoots her in the head, and she's unable to take responsibility for that. She's unable to take responsibility for being wrong about it. She firmly believes that she's right, and Jessica is unreasonable for being mad.
Why? What? Okay, paraphrase. Why did Trish think that was an okay thing to do?
Jessica Jones' mom is the villain in season 2.
But like,
she's like a serial murderer. She's a killer.
Okay.
Because the same way that Jessica got her powers, her mother also survived the attack, was experimented on, got these powers, but hers are uncontrollable. So she's killed a lot of people.
Gotcha.
But so Trish shoots her mother in the head and then yells at Jessica for being mad about it. And that continues into this season, and that continues to kind of define the relationship. And it's almost written in a way that you're supposed to not necessarily agree with her, but see her side of it and see how Jessica is clouded by her personal stake in it. And it's just, it bothers me. I really don't like Patsy in this season. She continues to be the same character she was in season 2. So if you didn't like her in season 2, you're not going to like her in season 3. I actually liked her in season 1. I thought she was fine.
Yeah. No, season 1. And it was so much promise and the way that they incorporated her and how she started to, you know, kind of get involved with everything that was going on. Oh, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah. So season 3, it I will say it takes a while to pick up. Like, you don't even realize who the villain is until like episode 4 or 5.
Okay.
It takes a while to pick up, but once it does, you know, it gets pretty interesting. I like the acting. I like certain parts of it. There are things that I don't like, but you know, it's hard to get into without giving it some time. Like, the thing came out like 24 hours ago.
Right.
It's not exactly be like, oh, you shouldn't have listened if you didn't want spoilers. Like,
right.
We'll chill on that.
For sure.
But yeah, it's. I mean, that's kind of the most I can say about it. It's better than season 2. It's not as good as season 1. It's still Jessica Jones. I will say it wraps up her story somewhat.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? No, it doesn't. It starts to wrap her story up, and then it ramps it back up. Unravels it. It's like it has the ending of the show. The last episode is like, okay, we're going into the downturn. All right, we're ending the storyline. We're giving her this ending.
Right.
And then you get to the end, and it's like ramps right the fuck back up. Like, we're gonna get another season. Let's go.
Oh, why would they do that?
And I was like, oh god. Especially like the very last shot is, yeah. So I will say Jessica Jones was the only one that was canceled before it aired, but they were only canceled like 4 months before they aired. So obviously everything was done filming, you know, they couldn't really, there's not a whole lot they could have done. You know, they can't exactly like, okay, everybody, we need like a family meeting in the last episode. Everybody get in here. Like,
right.
But it, and that to me really is the biggest disappointment of losing these shows.
Yeah.
Is these shows all ended in the middle of their stories.
Right. They didn't get to wrap up properly.
And the most egregious ones, in my opinion, are Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Big time Luke Cage. And yeah, definitely big time Iron Fist.
That was about to change the show fundamentally.
Yeah, totally.
He was on his way to becoming a villain.
Yep. Yeah, he was. Yep.
He took over that whole territory, all of that work that he had been fighting against, and he took it over because he believes that, you know, well, if I handle it, I can do it right.
It'll be better. Yeah.
And you can already see how he's going down a path of like, you're already becoming somebody you don't want to be.
Exactly.
Your woman left you because of it.
Right. Because that's the path that some of them, that's the same thought that some of them thought about in Luke Cage, and what made them take things over as well.
Yeah.
And we see how that ended. So
and then in Iron Fist season 2, do you guys not want spoilers?
I finished Iron Fist season 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
So Iron Fist season 2 ends with Colleen getting the Iron Fist.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And Typhoid Mary, and you realize there's a third personality.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, yeah. Typhoid Mary is probably one of the best villains in any of the shows.
And I forget the actress's name.
Alice Eve.
Yeah, Alice Eve. She
fucking killed it.
Murdered that role. Oh my gosh. She,
so good.
She, I thought I was already enjoying it, like without her introduction and without them fully, you know, unboxing, you know, and opening up the Typhoid Mary character. But as everything started to unravel and
as she started to unravel.
Yeah, she, very, that was very good wording. Oh, it got so much better.
I was
great.
So, like, I ended that so beyond excited for Iron Fist season 3. I was like, this is going to be the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen on television. This is going to be amazing.
Heck
Colleen
yeah.
has the Iron Fist. Like, she is going to kill it. She is going to do everything that Danny couldn't do because he's a terrible Iron Fist and a terrible person.
Right.
And, like, Typhoid Mary was the side villain, but she was so much more interesting than Davos.
Yeah, way more interesting than Davos. And that's what I thought, too. I thought, well, okay, since Colleen has the Iron Fist now, I thought Danny was going to have to go on a mission to get the Firebrand, which is, like, another thing from the comics.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a similar thing. And then I was like, oh, dope. Colleen Wing will be the Iron Fist. Danny Rand will be the Firebrand. They'll both powered. There was so much opportunity and cut short because of
that. Might be the biggest disappointment to me out of losing all of these shows. As ironic as it is, I think I might be most disappointed about losing Iron Fist.
Yeah, I would say so as well. And especially,
couldn't have guessed that after the first season.
Yeah, I know, right?
And on that bombshell, I think it's time that we end this. Thank you guys so much for listening. That is the end music you guys are hearing.
I don't have my headphones on. I had no idea.
We are. Oh, that explains it.
No, I was like ready to go. I was like,
I know.
Let's keep going.
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to look at you like, Emma, let's wrap this up.
She's got to tap the headphones.
I was going to start like doing the wrap up. Thank you guys for listening. Again, sorry for the lack of a live stream, but we should be back up and running on the Wednesday show. If you guys do want to watch us, go to twitch.tv/videogame_bang.
You know what's the most annoying thing about that? I don't have to put on makeup today. I didn't have to do that. I spent time getting ready to be in front of a camera. That's a time out of my day.
Your selfie looked better.
Emma, you don't have a stream schedule because it's Saturday, right? So
right.
You don't know what you're... But follow Emma on...
I'm on almost 5 days a week, so you can always find me.
Yeah. Curtis, do you have a stream schedule coming up?
I don't. I haven't been feeling as great lately, but hopefully as I begin to feel better, you guys will see more streams, especially comic book streams I will be doing because it's not as much energy. So tune in. You'll find me reading some comics next week sometime.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching. For Emma Sky, or... listening, not watching. Primus Guys, Curtis Fisher, I'm the real David Webb saying, see you guys next time. Peace.